This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community, a place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author,
Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 186 of Youpreneur FM, the place to be if you are a personal brand entrepreneur wanting to learn how to build and grow a profitable, successful, long-term business around your expertise and those that you want to serve. I'm your host, Chris Ducker, as always, and thank you very much for being with me. So today we've got our second rerun episode of the month, and if you don't know what that is, if this is the first time you're tuning in, basically throughout the course of October, I'm going to be firing four episodes at you from our archives, episodes which are gold, but you probably wouldn't have discovered if you've only just been listening for a short period of time. Today, we've got the fantastic Shalene Johnson on the call, and you're going to love that episode. Before I play it for you, however, just a quick reminder that you can grab a free copy of my brand new ebook called The Personal Branding Roadmap by heading over to youpreneur.com/ebook. It's a 10-step process on either building a brand from scratch or putting a little breath of fresh air into your current brand if that's what tickles your fancy right now. Go through everything from social media setup right the way through to making sure that your brand visuals are nice and solid and conveying the right message as well. So again, available for free. You can go ahead and download it right now at youpreneur.com/ebook. So onto my chat with Shalene Johnson. You might have known her from, you know, being an infomercial superstar. You might know her from being a celebrity fitness trainer, but you might not know her as the incredibly successful entrepreneur that she is. Not only a fantastic model as a personal brand entrepreneur, but also someone who truly doesn't mind pivoting and is more than happy to listen to her audience to create the things that they need the most. Here's my chat with Shalene. Enjoy. So, Shalene, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Chris.
Oh, man. I've been looking forward to having you on the show. This is so cool because my wife is a big fan of yours. I don't know whether you know this or not.
I did not know that.
I know. Turbo Jam, baby. She loved it.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, she would do those workouts at ridiculous hours. I want to But yeah, it was cool. And when I told her I was interviewing her, she was like, oh my God, I mean, you have to say hi. I love her
sort of stuff. So yeah. And congratulations to both of you. It's so nice to speak to an entrepreneur who really honors his family and has been married as many years as you have. Congratulations. It's really impressive.
Thank you. No, she's my best friend. And many people are listening to the show here. You know, they have met her. She travels with me pretty much everywhere. They've met her at events and conferences and meetups and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know, people just fall in love with her literally instantly. So yeah, it's cool. And I appreciate you saying that because it is a focus. And, you know, it was one of the things that I really wanted to focus on, going forward and sort of just building the business. And she's always been involved in the business. She's still involved with the business now. And she's one of the big main reasons why I believe I've got to where I am today. So I appreciate you acknowledging that. That's cool. So look, let's talk about, you have such an amazing story. And I just love the backdrop of the whole infomercial business and, you know, I mean, Guinness Book of Records, award-winning infomercials, best-selling books. I mean, there's nothing that you haven't really done. And I was speaking with an infomercial buddy. I don't know whether you know him or you probably definitely know of him, Kevin Harrington.
Yes, of course.
Right. And I mean, he, you know, is kind of credited as the inventor of that long form 28:30 infomercial. And we had him on the show just a couple of weeks ago, and here you are now. Tell us about, I mean, where did this all start with you? Where did the journey begin for you?
Yeah. Well, the journey actually began selling knives door to door.
So good. You know, I love that.
one of the many jobs I had was selling knives door to door. And now we say, if you can walk up to someone's door, walk up to a stranger's door, knock on it and say, can I show you some knives, and actually get them to let you in their home, you can do just about anything.
Yeah, I love it.
That was one of my early jobs. And aside from that, my first business that I owned myself was a used car lot. I flipped cars to put myself through college.
Love it.
And so I would buy vehicles from the state auction initially, even before I could drive when I was 15 years old. And I would buy these vehicles for pennies from the state of Michigan. And I would have the vehicles repainted and refurbished and then sell them, make a little profit and keep flipping and flipping cars. And I continued to do that through college at Michigan State. And I, you know, paid my way through college doing that. But it got to a point where it became dangerous, to be quite frank. You know, I was meeting with people sometimes in really bad parts of Detroit, and I would have cash in my purse to pay them for this vehicle. And, you know, I'm 5'2" and blonde and you know, just not that intimidating physically. But I was naive. I was just stupid. And I oftentimes would bring, like, you know, another 5'2" blonde with me. It was just really a dumb thing to do, but I was naive. And I had a pretty scary incident happen where I assumed that I was going to be robbed, and they were trying to tell me that I had to give them the cash for this vehicle. And after I'd looked at the title, I could see that it was a salvaged vehicle. And, you know, we got in an argument, and these other men showed up, and they were all yelling and screaming. And I just drove away from that thinking, I like this business, but this part of it is scary.
Right.
And there's got to be other people dealing with the same thing. So I decided to create a solution, and I rented a piece of land from the state of Michigan, and I created a used parking lot, like a used car lot, where you drove in on Saturday and you parked your vehicle and you paid me a small, very small fee to have your vehicle there. And then people who were in the market to buy a vehicle from a private owner would visit the lot and make purchases there. And it was called the All Michigan Auto Swap Meet. And I was passionate about cars, but more so, I just said, here's a problem that many people are having who are trying to sell their own used vehicle, and I can create the solution. And that's kind of how my life as an entrepreneur has continued to evolve, and kind of always solving my own problem. And shortly after that, I was working as a paralegal and moved to Southern California, and I was exercising and teaching fitness classes for fun. You know, I was planning going to law school, and I was doing these fitness classes for fun, like being paid $12 an hour.
Right.
But I would spend several hours trying to, like, make up choreography and download music. We weren't even downloading music, recording music, and, you know, trying to make this perfect class and routine. And I'm thinking, I'm spending like 5 and 6 hours to make 12 other people dealing with the same
Shailene,
situation.
Oh, sorry, I lost you there just for a minute. But go on, you're right back with us. Go ahead.
Cool. What part did I leave off at?
You just turned into a robot for about 4 seconds. I'm not even going to bother editing it out. This is real, people. This is the way we roll at the New Business Podcast.
Yeah. So I just realized there were other fitness professionals who loved what they were doing,
right?
And that there was a way I could create a formula where the workout was developed for them, the choreography and the music, and delivered that to people. And that was my first fitness business. It was called Turbo Kick, and we started certifying instructors around the globe. Eventually we had like 60,000, maybe 70,000 fitness instructors on this continuity program, where they received new choreography, new music, new routines every month. And people were just getting massive weight loss from it. And they would send me their stories, and I would save them in this big binder that I had. And I just thought it was so cool that here were these people who, they didn't know me, you know? It wasn't me who was necessarily helping them lose the weight, but it was my program. And it was such a neat thing. And I collected this huge binder of weight loss stories, and I would show it to people from time to time. And someone in the infomercial world got wind of this infamous binder. And I started getting phone calls from all the big players, Guthy Ranker and Beachbody and Kingstar and Silmark and companies that aren't in business today. And they all were excited to, because it was right about the time Tybo had exploded.
With Billy Blanks, right.
Yeah, so everybody was looking, and also Windsor Pilates.
Right.
So everyone was looking for the next kind of group fitness program. And so we signed our first infomercial deal.
That must have been incredibly exciting.
It was.
I mean, you know, because I've been in the game, and people listening in will remember the chat I did with Kevin, and we talked about the infomercial business a little bit. And I know what it takes to get a show on air. Like, you know, and nowadays it's way hot. People don't. They generally don't keep inventory. Everything's dry tested. It is what it is. And to get a show, and not only just a show, but an infomercial, like a full-blown long form instead of just a two-minute spot, that means you've got something real neat to sell. That must have been incredibly exciting for you.
It was. It was also very difficult. It was, you know, I didn't enjoy. I mean, it was kind of one of the saddest times of my life because I just kept adding. So we still had this company, and we had, you know, hundreds of people who we were responsible for, and we had started in that process an apparel company, and we had thousands and thousands of, you know, customers who I felt very close to, and we had 70 plus employees and consultants in each state as area promotions directors, and I felt very responsible for all those people. And then we signed on with this consumer deal. And then I felt very responsible to all these consumers you know, getting on message boards and taking care of people. And I never gave anything up in that process. I was always filming a video. I was never, ever able to rest during that time. And the first month that we received a royalty check from Turbo Jam, actually going number one, I went to the mailbox and I saw that the check was from Beachbody. I don't know if I'm supposed to disclose this, but I will. And I walked in and
we're all friends here.
Yeah. I opened up the envelope and it said $365,000 was my royalty for that month.
Jeez.
And I had never made that kind of money in a month. I mean, we were doing well, but the funny thing is I fell to the couch and I started crying and I felt sick. And I'd never been so unhappy. Here was the most money I'd ever made in my entire life. People were recognizing me. People were calling for interviews and we were getting offers to do TV shows and all of these great things. And I was so dead inside, so unhappy because I knew I just couldn't keep this up.
Right, right, right.
Something, and I didn't know what to do.
So what did you do? Ultimately, what did you do?
I went through a battle in my head, like suck it up, buttercup, for months and months and months. And even then I didn't know why I was crying. I didn't know why I felt sick. And my husband didn't know either because I couldn't express it to him. He's like, honey, this is so, why are you crying? Are these happy tears? And I said that they were, but they weren't.
Right.
They were tears of just, I felt like there was no hope. Like, how will I ever get out of this? How will I ever be able to enjoy my life? And I felt trapped. And so I just, it was a series of big signs from God. And I, you know, I'm a very devoted Christian, and more so, I think, in recent years, because I listen. And I had to have a lot of really loud messages in the course of about 2 years' time, where I think it was just, you know, it had to be so obvious to me that, like, okay, you have to change. You have to do something different. So it literally came down to a day where my husband and I just, you know, I just kind of broke down. I was always so strong, but I broke down and just said, I can't do it anymore and I need your help. How do I get out of this? And I knew it was my own doing. I knew that I hadn't let anyone do anything. I knew that I was the one who had always said yes. I knew that I was the one who always said, well, if there's an hour in the day to do it, then I'll do it. And I can sleep when I'm dead. And so I felt like a martyr. You know, I felt guilty that I had done this and now I'm asking for my husband to help me get out of this. And that's what we did, though. So we developed a plan and we couldn't tell anyone. We told no one. And we were in the midst of this big mastermind, and we couldn't talk about the thing that we were working on, which was disassembling, reverse engineering our whole lives. We had to figure out how we would sell a business where I was the product and I was the creator and the manager. And so that meant many years of figuring out, okay, how do I remove myself task by task, project by project, mm-hmm. from each piece of this business, so that at some point someone can look at it and say, this can scale. Because at the point when I was completely broken, it wasn't scalable.
Hmm.
I couldn't scale myself, you know? So we had to develop a team of people who could create the choreography and edit the music and manage the employees and be in the videos. And we had to create a system. And we did that. And then we embarked upon a very long process of negotiating the sale of our business to a company that we believed would take care of our baby and serve the needs of the customers who we had taken care of for so many years. And
yep.
And in that process, I really had to come to the grips with the fact that I had so many people who I had basically encouraged them to live this same way of doing more and being more productive and getting the most out of every single minute of your day. And once we were able to, as I say, break free from the prison that I personally had built, I have made it my personal mission to undo that.
Right. Love that. Love that. And I mean, you're doing it in a great way. I mean, I guess it probably kind of started through the fitness side of things, but then your New York Times bestseller, Push, mm-hmm. That came out, what was it, 2011?
Am That's I right? That's right.
Okay.
2011.
Great. Obviously, I mean, you sold tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of copies of that already. You've got, and this is what I really love right now, is that you've taken all of this that you've been through, and here we are sort of halfway through this podcast, and we're going to get into now really the nitty-gritty of how you've taken everything to the next level and you've learned from those experiences. You've taken all of this that you've been through. You've built up an incredible, incredible personal brand. Allow me just to drop some numbers on you people for tuning in right now. Twitter, almost 70,000 followers. Instagram, almost 400,000 followers. That gives me a nosebleed right there. Facebook, over 500,000 followers. Incredible personal brand. Podcasting, blogging, coaching, tons of resources, products, everything from Instagram through to your 30daypush.com mm-hmm. Kind of kickstart on everything. And that's not just business, that's not just fitness, that's business and all the rest of it as well. I mean, you've built this incredible, incredible, incredible personal brand, and I love that. I love that stuff. And now you're doing Smart Success, which is really your seminar, your summit, your movement. Mm-hmm. Is it yearly, am I right?
Yes, just once a year.
So tell us how all this kind of blends together for you now.
Yeah.
Not as Shailene the fitness girl or the you know, necessarily the coach or the mentor, but how does this come together for you as an entrepreneur?
Mm-hmm. One season at a time. Like,
nice.
You know, it just, even you going through some of those credentials, my heart rate goes up and back down and up and back down. Like you said, my Twitter numbers, and the first thought that popped in my head is they should be larger.
Yeah.
And then you said my Facebook numbers, and I thought, I wonder if I've posted recently.
Right,
you know, so
right,
like
right.
I still battle that. But then you went through some of my credentials, and it makes me feel like that's too much. But then I think it's important to be transparent with people and tell you, I don't do any of that all at once. It's always in seasons. And I have to encourage everyone to allow an area to rest, just as a farmer would. And you plant your crops and you water them and you care for them, and then you harvest them, and then you let that field rest. So that you can have a plentiful harvest again. But if you're always rotating crops and you never give the soil time to rest, see, I think that people think, well, now I have to learn Pinterest. And while I'm learning Pinterest, I still better be growing my Twitter at the same rate that I always have.
Right, and I'm
going to learn how to do podcasting. And while I'm doing my podcasting, I certainly can't let my Facebook numbers decline. And while I'm doing this, I need to be attracting new customers and building my email list. And everything all at once it's impossible. You'll only ever feel failure.
Right. Absolutely.
So I pick one thing at a time, and I am always explaining to people, kind of to reassure myself, that I'm, like right now, I'm in the season of podcasting. So I say that sometimes so that people won't go, have you noticed her Instagram account hasn't grown much lately? You know, because there's just those laws of comparison, and we want to be the best.
And, you know, at the end of the day, these are, I mean, they're known online as vanity numbers, right?
Yeah.
And I guess there's a certain amount of vanity involved in that. But, you know, I'm always very quick to point out that these things do matter. They do make an impact on what we do as content creators and the way that we serve our audience in all of these different ways. It does matter. I'm not saying you've got to have 500,000 people following you on Facebook to make a difference. That's certainly not the case. But what I am saying is that even though they're known and they're kind of referred to as vanity numbers, we do sometimes get a little consumed by them. But I love the way that you're focusing on what you want to focus on, what you feel you should be focusing on right now. That's what leaders do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what leaders do.
And I think you have to go deep and have a very rich harvest before you can outsource, before you can turn it over. I think, and at least that's always been my methodology. It's like, I'm going to learn this, become an expert at it. I'm going to go deep. I'm going to know everything about it. I'm going to become fulfilled by it. And while I do that, it's okay if other crops are resting. And right now I really, like, you know, you and I spoke about it. I'm having a difficult time convincing, you know, team members why I am so passionate about this medium, podcasting.
Mm.
But I think one of the greatest testaments to it is success is about relationships, not just success, life. Like, my life has been so profoundly enriched this year by just a few relationships that otherwise I would not have made if it weren't for podcasting. Chris, you and I wouldn't be chatting, and I wouldn't know you, I don't think, if it weren't for podcasting. My friend Lewis Howes and so many other people that, gosh, they just have so much to give. And it's, gosh, if nothing else, even if I can't equate it to building an email list or, you know, a number of sales, or for me, it's right.
Right.
It's right now. And I'm going to spend a season in this, and I won't be stupid about, you know, not being able. You just have to listen to people on your team who are willing and confident enough to ask you difficult questions, such as, now, why do you want to do this?
And, you know, you're lucky to have those people. Some people don't. And I know that you're lucky to have those people, because I think it keeps you grounded. It keeps you focused on the right things. But even when they do ask those slightly tougher questions to you, mm-hmm. it's also good because it allows you to then continually recheck in with yourself in regards to why you're doing what you're doing and the way that you're doing it, who you're doing it for, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And right now, like I said, you feel that podcasting is your thing right now. This is the way you're serving your audience and ultimately your prospective customers and mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, ideally full-blown customers at some point in the future. And I mean, for me, podcasting, and again, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but for me, podcasting is not just having some fun with a microphone and getting it out to the world. This is real content. This is broadcasting. We are online broadcasters is what mm-hmm. we are. And you see guys like Scott Stratton, who we interviewed back in the show, and I'll link to that show if you haven't listened to it, guys. You tuning in, you need to listen in on that one. I'll link it up to the show notes. But we had Scott Stratton from Unmarketing on the show recently. His show, the Unmarketing show, has just been picked up by CBS as a video podcast.
Yeah.
Massive. massive move for podcasting. You will see that happening more and more and more. So, you know, we are, as podcasters, content creators, serving our audiences, we're doing what we feel is right now. And I applaud you with all the other things you got going on. You got a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, with all the other things that you could be working on, with this being a focus, and like you say, those relationships and the audience and everything, it's solid. It is what you should be doing right now. I strongly believe that, because you believe it.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And you know, to just circle back to that, how important it is to have, maybe not even on your team, but somebody in your life who will speak truth to you, who will ask you the questions that are really difficult. Like, why do you want to do that? So that you have to decide, is this ego-based? Is this because, I'm trying to be important in my parents' eyes, or because, I want to be famous. Whatever the answer to the question is, if you have someone in your life, and they don't necessarily have to be on your team, but someone whose opinion you value, and they're not telling you what to do, but they're asking you to take a look at why you're doing something. And my husband is often that person. We get these great opportunities thrown to us sometimes, and I'll say, that sounds really good, we should do it, right, honey? And he'll say, okay, sure, but why do you think that would be good for us?
Right.
You know, and he walks me through it without ever having to say, Shalene, are you kidding me?
You know what the funny thing is, with me and hers, it's the other way around.
Ah.
So she works with me, like, on everything, from my blog, my pod, everything. She does everything with me. And so, you know, I'll get an idea, and I'll be like, that's a pretty cool idea. What do you think? And she's like, excellent, let's do it. Get the domain name. Let's blah, blah, blah. Oh. I said, hold on, wait a minute.
Really?
She's the bloody reason why I've got 150 domain names. It's nothing to do with me.
No, that's true. In most relationships, there's one person who kind of typically serves the role of the orange cone, like the caution cone.
Right.
And they kind of set it up around the other partner, who tends to be the bulldozer.
Right.
And I'm the bulldozer, and my husband is usually the orange cone who keeps me from bulldozing right off the side of the cliff.
Yeah.
So are you saying you're the orange cone?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily I'm an orange cone. I'm all about ideas and taking action. Anybody listening in knows that for a fact. I don't mince around and waste time and things like that. But what I am very acutely aware of, and I've become more and more aware of it as time has gone by in the last few years, is that when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else.
Yes.
Always. And so you've got to, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day, and, go ahead and persecute me if you think that working only 5 or 6 hours a day is a bad thing as an entrepreneur. That's all I want to work. The rest of the time I want to spend with my family. So, I can only do so much every day. It's that simple. And so when I do say yes to a project, I'm very aware I'm saying no to something else, and that something else might actually be a really great idea that could make me hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and that's fine, but, you know, I can always come back to it. And this is one of the reasons why...
That's so true.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I love building my personal brand, and I look at what you've done with your brand as well. Here's the thing. It's tough to be original in today's world. A lot of people are doing things that are very similar to what we might want to do and what we think is the next greatest, biggest idea. But the fact of the matter is, when you build a business that's focused around you and your personality and your message and what you stand for, there are no real competitors out there. So even if somebody else gets your idea and does something with it, you can still do something again further down the line in the future.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, there's always time for that.
Let me ask you a little bit about 30-day push.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the essence of that.
Well, it was the steps that I had to relearn in order to figure out how to reorganize my life. I mean, I was incredibly good at goal mastery.
Mm-hmm.
What I had a number one infomercial, and I had this very successful fitness program that was in health clubs across the world. We had this apparel company, driving the right car, living in the right house. But I was terribly unhappy, and I knew that there was a lot of information out there that taught goal setting and goal mastery and organization that failed to address kind of the first step, which is who are you? What do you want? What's important to you? And what part of your life is most important to you? What comes easy to you? What's difficult for you? And so I had to learn how to start with that. And once I figured out how to rank basically all 10 areas of my life, mm-hmm. and knowing like what, where I felt like I was falling short, not by anyone else's standards, but my own, and giving each one of those areas a score, and then picking the areas where I'd given myself the lowest score, which usually relates to you not feeling good about what you're doing and your potential and how you're honoring your priorities. And so I did that first, and then I decided that my goals needed to align with those things. So for example, at the stage that I created the system that is now a part of 30-day push, and it's 30daypush.com. And that's just a free video challenge where you get one inbox a day, a quick little video explaining how to basically restructure your system of goal mastery and organization and to-do lists and all of those things so that you end up with goals and accomplishing things that really matter. And instead of doing 50 things in a day, doing 3 things
right.
that move you forward.
Yeah.
And so at the time, I was really, really good at working. And I would give myself a score of a 10 in terms of our finances and my professional development and all of these things. But then when I looked at my list, the places where I'd scored myself the lowest was my friendships, my faith, my family.
Boy, like, oh boy.
Those are the lowest scores. Because I knew I was doing what was easy. It was easy for me to be a workaholic. But that wasn't what was important to me.
Right.
And that's why I wasn't happy, because I couldn't just spend time relaxing with my kids. So I knew that I had to create the system so that I could keep myself accountable. I could see on paper with this formula how my goals needed to line up with those areas where I knew I needed to improve, because it was right for me. Not for society, but it was right for me. And then once you do that, then I help you decide on creating 10 goals that align up with your priorities. And then we developed an idea called a push goal. So if you come up with 10 goals for the year, let's say, and you're looking at, you know, some of them are personal, like I want to take 6 weeks off this year with my family, and I want to get down to 12% body fat, and I want to get 8
that
hours
would be
of sleep.
Lovely, 12% body fat.
And I want to get 8 hours of sleep, and I want to have X number of dollars saved, you know, all of these things. And I always suggest at least one of the goals be something that moves you forward from a monetary standpoint, because let's face it, most of the things that we want to do are going to take money. So you set a goal for yourself, one of which is how to earn more money in a way that's smart, that doesn't compromise your priorities. And then you take the goal on your list of 10, and it's not always the one that's financial, but you take the goal on your list of 10 that knocks the most other goals down. So it's like a domino effect. So in other words, rather than saying, okay, well, I'm going to pick the most important goal on my list, which might be to, say, spend 6 weeks on vacation with my family. That might be my most important goal. But my push goal, meaning the goal that has the greatest amount of weight, which makes most of the others possible, mm-hmm. my push goal, for example, might have been to have 100,000 people on my email list. Because if I did that, well, then I know that I could probably become a New York Times bestseller. And if I did that, then that would mean I'd be able to make this type of investment. And there's another goal knocked off. And the New York Times goal is knocked off. And then if I've got that much money, then it's going to be easy to take 6 weeks off. So then now that goal is knocked off. And so you can see how just one goal on your list of 10 carries far more weight than the one that is sometimes more important to you. So rather than looking at the one that's like, oh, this is the one that's going to make me happy and that's what I should focus on the one that's going to get things done.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Wow. Okay, great. So you guys tuning in, you have to head over to 30daypush.com and check that out. I want to wrap up, actually, because I've been doing a lot of live events this year. I've done my one-day new business masterminds, which are usually sort of a closed room environment, 12 people around a table just spitballing all day long about their businesses and getting it going. Absolutely love them. I've done a whole bunch of those as I've traveled quite a bit this year. I do my one-day business breakthrough events with Pat Flynn over at smartpassiveincome.com, and we are actually in the process of taking all of that up to the next level for 2015. So stay tuned for that, guys. And then, you know, I've done a lot of speaking, a lot of book events, signings, seminars, keynotes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And you have Smart Success, which I want to wrap up on, because I kind of feel like this is something, and correct me if I'm wrong here, please do correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not always right. It happens most of the time, but I'm not always right.
I talked to your wife about that.
Yeah, you got to love that entrepreneurial confidence there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like this is probably one of the big things that you look forward to every year, because you do it annually, am I right?
Yes,
give us the lowdown on this. I'm really excited to hear about these kind of these events. They really get me going.
Well, I just don't know how to contain my emotions when I talk about Smart Success, because it's my most important work. It's saving marriages, it's saving businesses, it's putting people through college. It's just the coolest thing, and it's become a movement. We only do it once a year because it wouldn't be smart to do it more than that. You know,
people say,
can you bring it to Florida? Can you bring it to the East Coast? And
right.
Yeah, we could, but then that would really be contrary to the whole principle of Smart Success. And it's a movement that really teaches people how to do these things in a way that stays with you for life. And we teach outsourcing, and we teach delegation, and we teach the things that people, they know they need to do it, but they don't understand the steps, like the how do I structure my day? What time should I be going to bed? What time should I be posting in social media? Like literally the nuts and bolts that so many entrepreneurs take 10 years learning through trial and error. And we break down the very best practices so that you really can live this 4-hour work week, and you really can rely on a team of virtual assistants. And that's why, you know, that's really why I've been stalking you for so long, because I'm like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And it does require a leap of faith. And I find that people, especially entrepreneurs, because they're risk takers, and everyone should be an entrepreneur. Everybody should have a plan B. I mean, in the day and age that we live in now, it's not like when our parents had to figure out a business and create a business plan and go down to the bank in a suit and pitch their business. If you've got $9, you can buy a domain name and have a business in an hour. An hour from now, you can be making your own extra income.
This is it. Exactly.
And everybody should be doing that. I don't think everybody needs to be in charge of managing hundreds of people, but I think everybody should be creating their own plan B. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? It's so amazing. But to teach people the right way to do it so that they can avoid the costly mistakes that are not just costly from a financial standpoint, but oftentimes can deplete a marriage, relationships, spirituality. And if you learn to do it the right way from the experts, which we assemble when we do our live event, it's just the most rewarding, uplifting, fun event you could ever imagine, at least in my humble opinion, going to. It's just really a ton of fun, and it's life-changing.
Yeah, and your opinion can be as unhumble as you want it to be as well. I mean, the fact is you're helping a whole load of people. And I think that, you know, at the very core, I often get asked, you know, what is an entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. What is being an entrepreneur to you? And I say, you know what? I don't hold back on this. All I'm doing literally is just solving problems for people. That's what I do. I present and produce and market and build solutions to people's problems. That's what I do as an entrepreneur. And I think at the very core of it, that is what we all do, but it's how we do it that leaves the dent in the universe that will either be a good dent or a horrible dent that you can't kind of, you know, knock out. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. And when people say, well, what are you going to do next? I often say, I'm not sure and I'm not worried about that at all.
No.
But whatever I'm doing, it will be teaching the people who trust me how I solved whatever the problem was for me. And that's what I call a lifer. Like, I just, whatever it is I've gotten through and figured out painfully, I'm then going to turn to the people who I love and care about and say, here, don't step in this hole. Let me hold the light out in front of you and help you learn from my successes and my mistakes. And I value that people trust me in that way, and I honor it, and I will always be serving those people.
I love it. Well, look, that's such a nice way to end the chat. I thoroughly appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show. You're awesome. What more can I say? You're great.
Thank you, Chris. It's been an honor.
All right. Now, you guys for tuning in, thank you as well. Show notes over at the blog, chrisducker.com/episode78. Check out shailenejohnson.com. Check out the book on Amazon. Push, 30daypush.com for all that goodies in your inbox for an entire month for free. You'd be mental not to get over there. And everything else that Shailene's got going on. Until next time, thanks very much, guys. I love you very much. You know that. And don't forget one more time to check out today's show sponsor, AWeber. You can do it over at aweber.com/new business. $1 to get started on building your email list so that you can create a super productive, profitable online business. I use them myself, and so should you. And, you know, be kind to each other. Do something cool. Go out and create something amazing to share with the world. And I'll see you next week. Until then, bye-bye for now. If you want to catapult the growth of your business in today's economy, you need to join my free 7-day new business bootcamp for actionable tips on blogging, online video, outsourcing, podcasting, social media, and much, much more. Just visit chrisducker.com for more details and instant access. I'll see you on the inside.